All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 13th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope everyone's having an amazing day. I have actually been sick. I think I shared about it on the last podcast. I was feeling a little under the weather. Well, it was official. I got sick. Or I had a cold. Or I had allergies. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I never had a fever. I just felt run down. Something attacked my face, right? My sinuses. And, I worked on Friday. I think I did this podcast on Friday. I was feeling a little under the weather on Friday. Worked a little bit on Saturday. And then just kind of have been R&R-ing it for the last few days. And I feel pretty good today. I got to work today, big day. Problem with my business, man, there is no day for sick. There's no days for being off at this time of year. Except for the previously scheduled days off. But I got, there's no calling out. I mean, I could. But I have never called out. I don't think I've ever called out and had to move a whole day of appointments. I maybe have come in and worked a good chunk of them and then moved a few at the end of the day. But whatever, I am here. I am working today. Big day. Very busy. The holidays. And I feel better. It's all nose stuff for me. When I get a cold like this, it's like a stuffed up nose, a runny nose. I worked on Saturday. My nose is running. Oh, if anybody's had to work with a runny nose, it's the worst. Right. And especially and it's kind of funny because, obviously the pandemic during that we all had masks and everybody was real, diligent on protecting everybody. But now those days are over, even though inside I still feel guilt for having a cold. Like, it's almost like since I have a cold, I should stay home. Which maybe we would have done a couple years ago. Right. But onward and upward, and we got to keep moving. So Saturday was one of those days. I'm just kind of trying to hide the fact that I have a cold, but it's probably pretty clear. So, but I do feel better, and I thought I would come in and sit down and see if we could chat a bit. It's been a rough few days. I lost another friend to this fucking disease of alcoholism. It's a bummer. And honestly, him dying doesn't surprise me. I guess it does surprise me because he died. That's always weird, right? But I'm not shocked. What bothers me is the fucking people that he left behind, man. And one of them was very close to me. It was her father. And I have been trying to help get him sober for years. And when I say trying to help get him sober, I've been trying to help him only through example, right? Because really at no time since I've known him has he ever seemed like he wanted to be sober. There was a period of time where he just wasn't drinking. And this is one of those guys that just did so well when he was off the sauce, man. When he wasn't drinking, he had a family, he was working, working in the restaurant industry, doing well. I mean, I think, some of his other issues, maybe these 12 steps might have helped. I don't think he ever really worked a program. I think he just was abstinent from alcohol for periods of time. And I think when that happens, the other parts of us self-centered people start to show, and we struggle in work and relationships, even though we're not drinking, right? It's a great example why these 12 steps of this program are so important, to me at least, because what do they say? If you're an asshole when you drink and you take away the alcohol, you're just an asshole. Well, that's sort of what happens. And these steps help us become less of an asshole, I suppose. Or we try to. But, once again, man, this fucking disease just keeps on doing its thing. And, we lost another friend. And it's so, so sad because the person that gets hurt the most in these adventures is our families. We'll be right back. So Godspeed, buddy. Godspeed. You know, I've been dealing, unfortunately, with this situation for a while, and if you've ever been so, or if you're sober or been sober and you've been doing it for a while, unfortunately, people that are struggling with other family members that can't seem to get sober tend to give us a call and see if we can help or give some advice. And, you know, I couldn't. There was no advice. I always say, if you want to get sober, just go to a meeting, right? Go to a meeting, do it every day, get yourself a sponsor, and just start, you know, working. That's it. There's no magical bullet. There's no magical serum. It's, you know, go to a meeting, put your hand out, introduce yourself to some people, try to get yourself a sponsor, and fucking hope that you can make it. Because it is no free ride. I shared the other day, it is a very, very difficult to get sober and to stay sober. And the worst part about sobriety is every day you've been sober is every day that takes you away from the moment that gave you the idea that getting sober was a good idea. You know, 1997, sobriety seemed my only option. 99, felt like I had other options. You know, it's just that cunning. It waits. And I don't know how he died. It was complications from alcoholism. He got sick. And I don't really know the details. I just know that it was, you know, a hard life living, drinking, and partying. And, you know, it's a bummer. And like I said, man, it's the people that you leave behind. You know, it's such a self-centered disease. I never knew that. I just thought it was like, I like to party. Right? I thought the world of my drinking was such a different world up until March 31st, 1997. Up until March 31st, 1997, I like drinking, right? It's just something I like to do. But what I learned is that I'm a self-centered asshole. And it is what I like to do. But that's all I like to do is what I like to do. And I don't care about anybody else. You know, this guy had 5 or 6 kids. 5 or 6 kids. He left them all. And I know he didn't do it on purpose, right? It's an accident. It's an unfortunate situation. But man, every time we pick that drink back up, you have to know there's a ton of people behind you that are devastated. And you know what's funny is that when I got sober the first time, I had nobody in my life. Nobody was proud of me. My parents were proud of me. You know, there was a few people here and there that were proud of me. But I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have a career. I'm always so amazed when a person that gets sober has, like, you know, that's in their 70s, 60s or 70s, that have had a whole career, a wife or husband, and, you know, children, and raised them all and got them all through college while still drinking. I couldn't do that. I couldn't get two thoughts together. You know, I was so consumed with myself and what I wanted to do, I couldn't put two thoughts together to somehow get a relationship going. I was nobody wanted to be in a relationship with me. Right? I don't know. Maybe by the time I was in San Diego, that's when I was supposed to find a wife and have children and then, you know, have it all come to head in Delaware. But I was so involved with myself in San Diego, I had no time for a relationship there either. I mean, I had some relationships, but they were all casualties of war relationships. So to hear, you know, the devastation that's left behind from some of these folks is just crazy. But I tell you what, man, it just reminds me to be thankful that I am sober. Somehow I'm one of the lucky ones that seem to have somehow stayed sober. But it's a lot of freaking work, and I don't know why I'm lucky and others aren't. And but we have to move on and, you know, be there for the families. You know, the person that his daughter, you know, goddamn, I feel bad for her. She has dealt with this guy, her father. And I don't want to be disrespectful to him because I did like him. and it's her father. But man, it pisses me off. You know, it's like people don't deserve that, right? I couldn't imagine. And listen, I'm no angel, right? I'm not perfect. I worry about one day picking up and my kids losing complete respect for me because I'm a total fucking drunken douchebag. You know, I hang in there every day. I'm like, please, God, don't ever let me pick up. Just don't let me be a disappointment to my children. Because that's a big deal, you know? One of the greatest things that I have today is the ability to be there for my father, who is a challenge in 100 different reasons. He is, but he's awesome, right? And I look back at my dad and I think, you know, how him and I used to fight and go crazy, and for the fact that my mom would eventually pass away and that I would be left taking care of the old guy. He said it to me the other day. I appreciate you taking care of me. I never thought that happened. Right? I can't imagine my father being or dying because of an alcoholism and not having him around. I don't know. You know, I went to a meeting the other day. So Godspeed, Brock, man. I tried, man. I loved you. You know, I love everybody. I hope you're at peace, my friend. We'll surround her. We'll keep her straight. The worst part is his daughter was getting ready to have a baby. That's what I'm getting excited about. I want to have grandkids, right? My son, my oldest son, is going to college. You know, I hope one day he gets to have has a family, and I want to be a grandparent. You know, I want to be a grandfather, and I want to have grandkids, and I can't wait till that second part of my life where I get to be there. You know, I love raising my kids. I love being a father. Best thing I've ever fucking done in my entire life, but right neck and neck with getting sober. I'll put sober a little ahead only because without that I wouldn't have the other, but goddamn, I love being a fucking dad. I played my son in ping. My son and I play ping pong, my oldest one. He's very good, but we battle. And we played last night. He handed it to me, but we always hug and tell each other we love each other. And but I'm such a loser, right, to my son. You know, he's like, don't pull anything. Like, he's so mean to me, but I love it, you know. And he doesn't. He's not mean, but he says, don't pull anything, old man. Like, I'm gonna hurt myself playing ping pong. But man, I just love him, and I can't wait till one day I get to have grandkids and see him struggle with being a parent like I have, right? And I don't mean like in a bad way, but you know, when those big guys look up at you and they're like, Daddy, can I get something on Roblox? And I'm like, I guess so. And you know, my oldest one, you're always buying them stuff on Roblox. Yeah, wait, you'll see. You'll see, buddy. Wait till your day shows up and you have to deal. Right. I told him the other day, I'm just doing the fucking best I can. Okay? Give me a break. But I went to a meeting the other night, and on Friday I'm chairing that meeting for a while. And the meeting, I've gone to a couple meetings. It was on the promises, and I wanted to look up the promises. I started talking about the promises at one point. The problem with the promises, and it's not a problem, but the thing about them is that they come in at like after the eighth or ninth step, right? I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into these promises. There's a lot of work that comes in before these promises. And so, you know, I like to find this. I like to think of this more of like a back to basics meeting. Steps 1, 2, 3. I know I've talked about a lot of different stuff, but you know, I like to try to remind myself that to keep it simple. But there is a promises. Let's see what this says. What are the 12 promises of AA? So, well, that's not what I was thinking. Sorry. Not very prepared here. Well, I am prepared, but there's no preparation. I'm just... Okay, here we see. This is it. Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. Jeez, sorry. All right. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And also, you know, I've talked about this. You know, I found a new freedom the first day I got sober when I was driving down the road not drunk. And many more other newfound freedom and happinesses. But I'm not gonna share in each one of this because I want to talk about a certain one. But it says number two, we will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. And that was what I was going to talk about, because I went to a meeting the other night, and that it was a promises meeting, and that was a promise that was discussed. And, you know, I remember when I first got sober and I heard this promise, and I was thinking, like, just over the years how this has evolved, right? Because if when I first read it, it says, you know, we will not regret the past, which early on meant, like, hey, forget about all that. You know, we don't have to think about it. We'll just sweep it under the table, on sight, out of sight, out of mind, right? But what I would later learn is that, and my buddy Matt would always say this, you know, you can't be a victim of the past, right? You cannot. Why? Because victims just never get better. Victims never get better. And so, I think the main point of this is early on, you know, becoming accountable. You know, every situation that I've been in the past, you know, I can go back and look and say, because I remember, and I've shared on this podcast, you know, getting punched, walking around at this house trying to score some meth, walking through this house with my buddy Rob, and this guy just punching me in the face. And I'm like, what the fuck? And, you know, but early on, I'm like, I can't believe that guy did that. What's the matter with that guy? Right? Fuck that guy. These people. But, you know, getting sober and looking back, and it's a little embarrassing, right? You never, no one likes to get punched. But looking back on it, you know, what the fuck was I doing there? Right? What am I doing at somebody else's house? I wasn't invited. Right? Nobody invited us over. We stopped by. went up to the front door. Nobody answered. Ended up walking in, walking through the house, and some guy punched me. That's what I fucking get, right? But I spent a big portion of my life as a victim of that. It's just another incident. You know, my mom used to always say, you got a lot of bad luck in September. I don't know why, because it was around my birthday. But I just did a lot of dumb shit in September, right? This isn't just a case of bad luck. But, you know, until I came to the program and started to understand, you know, being accountable, surrendering this shit. You know, I was just a victim of bad luck. And so what this step is saying to me is, look, I got to go back. I can't regret the past, because if I go and if I work these steps and if I understand learning to be accountable and taking responsibility and having some humility and understanding what my true problem is, which is just a self-centered asshole. A self-centered asshole walked into that guy's house. A self-centered asshole went to somebody's house looking for speed and got his ass beat. That's all my fault. You know, I'm lucky I didn't get shot. This is in California. You know. But that's, you know, that's the world that I lived in. But, you know, after working the steps, I went back and I looked, you know, Tom, the reason you got hit is because you were there. You shouldn't have gone there. You shouldn't have been on meth. There was 100 reasons that you shouldn't have gotten punched. There was 1,000 different options you could have taken on that day that it could have avoided you from getting punched. But every decision I made, and I have to be responsible for it. And as soon as that happens, I'm like, well, shit, there's nothing to regret. It's all my fault. I regret I'm an asshole. You know, I regret I'm a self-centered asshole with deficiency in humility. I do regret that, but I'm working on it. But once I learned these steps and understanding the role, you know, identifying the role that I played in these situations, what is there to regret? you know, I think family is always a big one. And I did have some regret, but, you know, I there's a living men's, man. You change it. And I know with my parents just get sober and fucking stop being a dumbass. All right. And move on. And we'll be fine. I know my dad still has some baggage. My dad is, you know, he doesn't work a program. He doesn't drink. He doesn't have any issues. He has issues, but none that would lead him to a program. So my dad has, you know, my dad's still hung up on the past. My dad is still a victim of the past. And of course he is. I mean, that's, you know, unless you have a program and unless you can figure out the role we play in something, we're always going to be a victim of the past. You know, my dad likes to think, my dad thinks that, you know, me and my brother were just fucking bad kids. And he's a victim of it. And he is. But what role did he play in it? You know, I've always said, listen, if my kids acted as bad as I did, I would be at the age that that we were at, I would throw them out of the house. Because we were living with my parents past 18. Right? After 18, man, we have a deal. And my father, and I'm glad he didn't, like, I'm not, this isn't, you know, dumb dad, but, you know, he should have thrown us out. And luckily, somehow I somehow got sober. My brother still struggled. But in the end, the reason my brother got sober is because my dad finally, when my brother was at 50 years old, finally cut him off. Right? My dad played a role in it. I think he was just doing trying to do his best, because I get caught up in the same thing. I give my kids shit that I know I shouldn't give them. I buy my kids stuff I know I shouldn't buy them. I'm making them spoiled. You know, I feed my kids food that I shouldn't be feeding them. You know? I know better. But we do it, right? We give them candy. We give them, you know, junk food. We want to be good parents. We want them to be healthy, but we give in. And my dad gave in a lot. And so it allowed us to continue doing what we were doing. And so, you know, and for me, getting sober, I was able to make amends to my parents. My mom was still alive. I made my amends. I was sorry. But I always was sorry. I was always sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I apologize. I mean, those words flew out of my mouth like no problem. So clearly I would say I would be sorry and I apologize. But the living amends is huge. I think 9 out of 10 people would take in a living amends over any other amends. Just get fucking sober and stop doing what it is you're doing. You know, when you have that world and you live that life, it's always that phone call that you dread. It's always that phone call that you dread. It may not be today. But you're always worrying. When your kids are out running the streets or your family members are out running the streets living that hard life, you're always worried, are they going to die? You know, there's that, I've shared about that movie, I think it's 4 More Days or something, 3 More Days, 5 More Days, something like that. I think it's on Amazon, but it's about the girl that's trying to get sober. And what I liked about the movie is that it really reflects the family. Right, I think the movie starts and the chick is sleeping on the front porch, right? And her mom looks out the window and she's like, "You ain't coming in the house." She's like, "Let me in. I'm gonna get sober. I'm gonna just let me get a shower and I'll get it together." And she's like, "You're not coming in this house." Clearly, they have history, right? And watching the movie, and it's just so powerful. You know, she's like, "This daughter has destroyed her mother and family, stealing from them, lying to them, cheating them." And, you know, just, I remember in the movie, just her knowing that her daughter was asleep in the house brought so much peace. Right. So the living amends is so good. I mean, if this is what you're doing, if you're really trying, you know, there's also these like pause amends where I would pause in my addiction. And it made my parents feel like I was headed in the right direction. But in the end, I would, you know, pick up. Because I didn't want to get sober. I didn't care about getting sober. I don't even know what sober was. Like I said, up until March 31st, I just drank too much. When I finally put down the drink and came to this program, did I finally realize that there's a lot more to it. A lot more to it, man. And but here, I'll just read the rest of these promises. So we will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. So to finish that off, you know, I had to become accountable for all my past situations, figure out the role that I played, and then move on. And when it says do not shut the door on them, because I have to look back and say, hey, is this another one of those situations I'm about to get myself into where it looks like I'm doing the right thing, but really, in turn, I'm just a self-centered asshole? It smells like it. It looks like it. It probably is it. So when it says don't shut the door, you know, be aware. Be aware of what you've done and be aware of what you're capable of doing or what I'm capable. I need to be aware of what I'm capable of doing. And it's good to be able to look back and say, okay, this looks like that. But the other thing is, so then we got, we will comprehend the word serenity, which I do feel is coming to me. We will know peace. I feel like those are sort of kind of together. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Absolutely. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Absolutely. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I struggle with that. I'm still selfish. You know, I don't know what selfish thing. I mean, I like a car, right? I like a house. I like to wear decent clothes. I don't need to be fancy. You know, I do like my e-bike, right? I needed just any e-bike. I needed this certain one. It was a little expensive. It was a little selfish. So I'm working on some of these things. Self-seeking will slip away. I don't know. Working on that one. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Absolutely. It feels that. I love life. Fear people and economic insecurity will leave us. Struggle with that one. Definitely. I've shared about that. Money is very scary to me. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. Yeah, it's called becoming accountable. I can't believe God did this to me. I can't believe that guy did that to me. I can't believe those person did that to me. Right? You shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been on speed. Shouldn't have been trying to buy speed. Shouldn't have walked into those people's house. Shouldn't have been moseying around a person you don't even know's house. You shouldn't be shocked you got punched in the face. That's just reality. And number 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think these are great promises. I'm going to go through them eventually. I don't know. Got to get to the eighth and ninth step, right? Got to work them. Work these steps. All right, let me read the daily reflections, and I'll let you guys go. Here we go. Thinking of others, December 13th, excuse me. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. As ex-problem drinkers. That's what I was, an ex-problem drinker. I was a problem drinker. Maybe that's it. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 20. Thinking of others has never come easy to me. Even when I try to work the AA program, I'm prone to thinking, how do I feel today? Am I happy, joyous, and free? The program tells me that my thoughts must reach out to those around me. Would that newcomer welcome someone to talk to? That person looks a little unhappy today. Maybe I could cheer him up. It is only when I forget my problems and reach out to contribute something to others that I can begin to attain the serenity and God consciousness I seek. Yeah. You know, I always think that, you know, anytime I decide to do something that my initial first thought is no, to go ahead and do, is the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. And anytime that I choose not to, is me following the direction of my lower power or myself, that self-centered side of me. There's two parties in this in this program. And, you know, it's almost, it's funny. It's almost like it's almost political. You know, it's almost backwards too. You know, I was saying the other day that, you know, I feel like we're kind of born as children of the devil and we die as children of God. We evolve. You know, 500 years ago or however many years ago before, you know, drugs, there was always, it's funny how we've always somehow made some sort of drink to get drunk on. Seems like from the beginning of man, right? But, you know, 500 years ago, you know, 500 years ago, we'd wake up or we'd be born and then, you know, going through life, you know, you're more self-centered and then at the end you die. But they say that once you pick up a drink or drug, you kind of get stuck right there in that level of maturity. And then when you can finally get sober, you can try to catch back up. But, you know, there's that voice. And, you know, every time I think about doing something, there's a voice that shows up, don't do that, do that. And, you know, when I choose to listen to the voice, you know, I'm building a relationship with something, you know, depending on what voice I'm choosing to listen to. So one of the fun things that I feel now and when I was early on in the program is I just tried a lot of crazy shit, like saying hello, right? Asking people, how you doing? I didn't do that. Checking in on people. Didn't do that. All these little opportunities to create a relationship with God. All right, well, listen, anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. You know, Godspeed to my buddy Brock. You know, we'll miss you, man, and we'll watch over your daughter and the rest of your kids, and you know, let this be an example. This disease doesn't fuck around. It will kill you later.